All right. Well, good morning, Great Oaks. How are we? I am so excited to be here with you this morning. If you are tuning in online, thank you so much for that. And if this is your first time, I'm happy that you're here, and I'm happy that you chose today. Because as Pastor Chase said, it is kids in worship. Kids are near and dear to my heart, so I am very happy that you're in the room. You guys, I'm excited to see you. I can only see like two rows in, but I can feel you're here. So that's comforting. I'm so happy that you're here with us this morning. As a church, we believe that it's important for the kids to see the adults and the parents engaging in worship. It helps them, and as they are just walking out their faith, to see you walk out yours is such an incredible thing to share with them. So thank you for that. All right, so I am going to dive right in here. This week is week 3 of our series that we are calling Storm Chaser. We have tackled a couple of storms in the Bible so far. In week 1, Pastor Chase was talking about Jesus calming the storm. And he spoke on how in the midst of the storm, that fear latches on and we can lose sight of God at work. And then last week, Pastor Paul shared from Jonah, and he dove into that story, that no pun intended there, on how God can send us storms to remind us of our purpose. Now, for me, I love a good storm. A nice thunderstorm, especially at night, that is sleeping weather for me. I actually grew up in South Florida, and so storms are a fairly normal occurrence. But if you were to ask me, okay, first of all, you moved from Florida here. What? I get that a lot, the eyes. Do you miss anything? Yeah, I miss a few things. Is there anything you don't miss? Hurricanes. I do not miss hurricanes. And I don't say that lightly after seeing the devastation of the hurricane that came through this week. It was awful. In fact, parts of St. Pete, which is the area that I moved here from, were underwater. And so it has just been total devastation in some of these areas. The thing about hurricanes, though, is that most of the time you have warning. You know that they're brewing, you know that they're coming, and they track it to see where it's going. It's the hurricane that takes you by surprise. Growing up in Florida in 2004, we had Hurricane Charley. This was a storm that was projected to go to a certain area. All of the people were preparing, and 6 hours before it made landfall, it pulled a hard right turn, went up through Charlotte Harbor, and completely destroyed the town I grew up in as a child. To this day, there are parts of that town that just don't even look the same. Things and places that I was comfortable with and went to as a child no longer exist. And so these hurricanes, these things, they have collapsed buildings, destroyed homes. It's awful. And that's just the physical. In life, we have storms. Sometimes we see them brewing. We can start to prepare for them. Other times, those storms are like a Category 4 coming up the harbor that we never saw coming. We weren't prepared for it. I had one such storm in 2015. I have 3 girls, 3 absolutely amazing girls. They keep me on my toes. They are wonderful. Our youngest was born in 2013, and when she was 2 years old, we sat down with a doctor. She looked us in the eye and said, "I need to operate on her brain." And fear gripped me. I was devastated. No parent wants to hear that their child needs major surgery. It's frightening. Then they start talking about it. They told us what the procedure was going to look like. They told us how long we should expect it to take. And then the negatives. "We want you to know, with this, she could lose her vision. She could lose her hearing. She could lose the ability to walk and talk. That's if we don't operate. If we do operate, we want you to be prepared. She could lose her vision. She could lose her hearing. She could lose her ability to walk and talk. And my husband and I had no idea what to do. The storm was brewing, and we never even knew that it was there. In the middle of that, all I could see was doubt. I began to doubt what our lives would look like, what her life would look like. I didn't know what to do, and I was afraid. So as I prepared to speak this week, looking at the story that I'm going to share with you, I came to the realization, in the storm, even we can walk on water. Now, kids in the room, I want to speak to you for just a second. When I say that even we can walk on water, this is not a challenge to go home and fill up your bathtub and try to do sprints across it, okay? That's not what I mean by walking on water. What I mean is through the grace of God, we can manage the storms as they come. So if you have your Bibles today, I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 14. If you have the app, you can open it up in there. It will be on the screen as well. And kids, again, this one is for you. When you came in this morning, you should have gotten a bag. Inside your bag, you have a container of Play-Doh. This is probably super important. You don't want to miss this, all right? I want you to take out that Play-Doh, and I am giving you full permission to play with it while I'm talking. Your challenge while I'm talking is to make a boat, okay? I want you to try to make the best possible boat that you can. I'm working on mine. Right now it looks like one of those little stand and stuff taco shells, but that's okay. Play-Doh's not my thing. I want you to make the best boat that you possibly can, and then after service, I want you to find me and show me your boat, and I guarantee you it will not be hard to make a better one than mine, okay? Now, while you're turning to Matthew 14, I want to share a little bit of background about this chapter. There's a lot going on. A lot of things are happening in here, and what we see at the beginning, Jesus has just been informed that his cousin, John the Baptist, has been killed. And he's devastated. This is his cousin. They were close like brothers. And so we see Jesus get into a boat, go out on the water by himself to spend some time praying. While this is happening, the crowds have been following Jesus at this time. They are hearing him speak and perform miracles. And so they are waiting on land. Like, oh, he'll be right back. Okay, we'll wait. They're there waiting for Jesus. He comes back, speaks to the people, and in the middle of the chapter, we see him perform the miracle of multiplying the loaves and fish and feeding the multitude, thousands of people. The end of the chapter is where I want to camp out today. It's what happens after this miracle that is incredible. So Matthew 14, starting in verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after that, he dismissed them. He went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they cried. Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." But Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were on the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So we have the disciples who have just seen Jesus perform this miracle, multiplying this food, feeding thousands of people. And then he looks at them, immediately says, "Get in the boat, I'll meet you." And he goes up on the mountain to be alone to pray. It's in this time that we see the disciples in their struggle. Now, other versions of the Bible will say that it was during the fourth watch. So this is between about 3 and 6 in the morning. It's dark, the wind is howling, the waves are crashing, and Jesus enters the scene again. For me, this is where the story really gets good. Because you have this guy, Peter, who originally was a fisherman before he was called by Jesus. He starts following after Jesus. He's seeing this man speak to people, perform all of these miracles. But again, he was a fisherman, so he's probably been in a boat before. He's probably been in a storm in the boat before. He might be a little bit used to some of the waves, some of the wind. But seeing someone start walking toward you, that's terrifying in the midst of all of that. We know from the story that this is Jesus, but Peter is doubting. He calls out and asks this man to call him onto the water. And I think that's because Peter had the same realization that I did, that even in the storm, we can walk on water. This story is great because from this, we can see Peter go through so many different things. And I think that there are three important things that we can latch onto that teach us about what it takes to walk on water, because it's not easy. I think the first thing is that walking on water takes courage. Sometimes in life, we will find ourselves in storms that we don't see the outcome working out in our favor. We can't see past the wind and the waves. For my husband and I, we were worried that what we were facing was going to change the entire dynamic of our family. This didn't just affect our daughter's life, it affected the lives of our other children. It affected our lives, our schedules. What do we plan on? What do we look for? For me, as a mom, I was absolutely terrified of how different her life could look. I remember before she was born, thinking of all of the amazing things that she was probably going to accomplish. And now I doubted that any of those would ever happen. Courage was out the window for the two of us. And it was in this storm that we sat together and we talked. And we had that moment of, it's time to get out of the boat. We needed that Peter moment, that courage, to say, okay, I'm putting my feet on the water here. And so that's what we did. The Bible talks a lot about courage. You see courage spread out in so many different stories. I love Joshua's story. He is starting out in the Old Testament, taking over, leading the Israelites after Moses has died. He's worried he can't do it, and God says to him, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Then you see in the New Testament, Paul, after Jesus' death, is preaching and speaking to different groups of people, and he writes to the people in Corinth, and he gives them encouragement in sharing their faith. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. That's what we needed. We see it reflected in this story, in Peter's story here. We get to see him grow in his faith, going from fisherman to disciple. And Peter is far from perfect, but he has a boldness that I kind of admire in him. See, he doubted that this was Jesus. Looking at the different versions of this story in the Gospels, in John, it tells you how far out they were on the water at this time. And it says that they were about 3 to 3.5 miles. Well, Jesus has gone up a mountain to pray. Now here he is on the water. And Peter is like, but really? Is he? And so in the middle of these crashing waves and this wind, he says, if it's really you, tell me to come out there. And Jesus says, come out here. And he does. He has the courage to get out of the boat. He starts walking towards Jesus. And that's when he takes in his surroundings. He sees what's happening. He sees the waves crashing. He feels the wind. He hears the wind. And he starts to sink. Because even though he had the courage to get out on the water, he needed to know that walking on water takes trust. Trust is hard for a lot of people, especially in the world that we live in right now. As parents, we have to trust that when we put our kids on the school bus in the morning, they will get on the school bus and come home to us in the afternoon. We have to trust that that child who has walked away from faith, we have instilled enough in them that God will bring them home. It takes a lot. For us, that trust came September 22nd, 2015. We took our two-year-old, put her in the hands of a team of surgeons, and they closed the doors. I was crushed. There was nothing I could do. I had to trust in that moment. Those surgeons knew what they were doing, and that my baby would be fine. I had to trust that when a two-hour surgery turned into a five-and-a-half surgery, those hours that were ticking by were important, that it was still okay. They knew what they were doing. I remember sitting down, having some lunch. I'm sipping on a smoothie, and my father-in-law came up to the hospital. And I absolutely love him for sitting with us for a while, but before he left, he prayed. I have no idea what he said. Not a clue. I know he prayed. Until he got to the end. Those words were the words that I needed. Because he said, God, I know that Riley is in your hand, and I trust you to take care of her. How many of us need to say those words in our storm? God, I know I'm in your hands, and I trust you to get me through this storm. Have we found ourselves in those situations? In the storm, we forget God's already working on our behalf. It's interesting that last week, Pastor Paul would share a story about Jim and Elizabeth Elliott. They were a missionary team that were sharing the gospel. He shared on how Jim and his friends were killed, serving, sharing the gospel. Because as I was preparing, I found a quote by Elizabeth Elliott that absolutely stuck with me. She said, "Don't dig up in doubt what you planted in faith." Peter planted his feet on the water. And when that doubt crept in is when he began to sink. The beautiful part of this, though, is that when we cry out, "Lord, help me," he will. Growing up, my favorite verse was always Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it was never more true than when we were going through what we went through with Riley. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. That's a source of comfort for me. It reminds me when I don't have control, it's okay because God always has control. It reminds me of Peter in the water, hand out, "Lord, help me." And Jesus grabbing him by the hand, no questions asked, pulling him out of the water. And if God would do that for Peter, then he'll do it for me. He'll do it for you. Because the most beautiful part of this entire story is that we can learn that walking on water takes grace. Walking on water takes grace that only God can give us. Life gets hard. Situations can seem impossible. We don't know what to do. We just throw our hands in the air. My courage is gone. My trust is in short supply. I don't know. I don't know what to do anymore. It's interesting that in the passage that we read today, the word immediately is used three times. First, Jesus sends the disciples immediately out into the boat after he is done with the crowd. Then, Peter cries out and Jesus immediately reaches out and picks him up. And finally, when they get into the boat, immediately the wind stops. For me, the instant that my father-in-law prayed over us, the grace, the peace that I felt was immediate. God knew exactly what I needed. He saw me sinking in my storm, and he pulled me out. I get nervous sometimes, still. We still struggle. Her surgery was successful. Yes, it was long. Yes, some things happened that we weren't expecting. The doctors were able to rebound from those rather quickly. She'll face lifelong battles. It's hard to squash the doubt sometimes. But she's a happy 11-year-old. In fact, she chose this picture of her on her birthday last month. Right? She picked it, guys. Not me. She picked it. We battle. We deal with medical issues. Our storms come and go. But like the disciples, when Jesus and Peter got into the boat, we are able to worship. The disciples said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." They saw God's grace at work in the storm. And it's because of that grace that we know in the storm, we can walk on water. So it's been mentioned several times over today that it is kids in worship. And I absolutely love that. It's Life Group Sunday, but not only that, it is Baptism Sunday. If you want to see courage and trust at work, today is the day. You are going to hear testimonies of people that have courageously come forward to proclaim their faith, that have said, "I put my trust in Jesus, and I'm ready to share that with you." But for some of us today, we're in a storm. Maybe it's the courage piece of that storm where we're struggling. You would say, "I do not have the courage in this storm right now. I don't know what to do." It's time to get out of the boat. Plant those feet in faith. Maybe it's the trust. "I am out of the boat, but I am sinking in my storm. I don't know what to do." You're not alone. I want you to hear me when I say, we are here with you and for you. We will have prayer workers in the back of the room this morning that if you want somebody to pray with you, they are ready to pray you through that storm. I want you to know that whatever your struggle this morning, we have storms. We all face them. We all deal with them. But God is at work in that storm. And through that, we can walk on the water. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day, for the people that are here this morning, for the kids in the room that I get to minister to. What an honor. I pray right now for those in the middle of their storm. It is hard. It is hard to have courage to step out and trust you in that storm. And so I just lift each and every one up to you, God. I thank you that you're already working for our good. I pray right now, God, that you would just be with each and every one of these people this week in whatever storms might come. Give everyone a wonderful and blessed week. In your name, amen.